Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Take away the Spurs and the Wolves and those teams. But if you just look at the Golden State Warriors, just the Golden State Warriors. If they're just the Golden State Warriors next year, tell me who they're displacing from the current eight playoff teams plus the Warriors.
That's a good point. I don't know if OKC can do it again, but they look great right now.
Oh, man, you crazy. OKC is going to be better.
I mean, there's questions about what they're going to do with Chris Paul and their picks, if they're going to try and parlay that or whatever. That's the only reason why I'm saying that. But I mean,
the front office in OKC has shown me they can make things happen.
They can. People talk about Phoenix and all this other stuff. Like, just like Vivek and everybody else, y'all in these two weeks, you know what I'm saying? If they just said 16 playoff teams go to the bubble, man, wouldn't nobody be talking about Monty Williams like that? Alvin Gentry would still have a job. But 2 weeks and y'all like, oh, man, all this needs to happen. Everybody needs to go. Calm down.
No,
we saw about 60-70 games
whoa.
Of Phoenix underachieving. All right? Let's calm down with Phoenix.
Let's slow up. I'm not even saying that the Kings will be one of the best 16 teams in the league, first of all, next year. I'm not even saying that. I know the Eastern Conference will probably have two or three teams with a losing record. That's fine. I'm not even saying the Kings will be one of the best 16 teams, though, in the NBA. And forget about what when you say, like, judging things on eight games. Look, I showed highlights last night and asked Kings fans to please look away from the screen if they couldn't take it. You know what highlights were, correct?
Yeah, that might have been the Orlando game.
Vlade's legacy as a front office member in his first front office job will be what? 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, we're still out here.
So,
at the end of the day, your biggest mistake or your wisest decision defines you as a front office member. Period. That's the way it is.
I understand that, but the bottom line is, I'm going to give you two scenarios. Memphis had Jaren Jackson, and they were an eighth seed. They didn't have him. They went, 2-6 in the bubble? Don't nobody talk about that, but somehow Memphis is head and shoulders ahead of Sacramento somehow, right? And the Kings didn't have their number two pick pretty much all season.
Wait, hold up. But here's the thing: we know what Jaren Jackson can do when he's healthy. We don't even know what Marvin Bagley of the 13
when he's healthy, he's like 18-7. When he's healthy, he's like 18-7. We do know
what he
can do.
You want to talk about his plus minus? You want to talk about his defense?
I hate plus minus. I never want to talk about plus minus.
13 games.
I never want to talk about plus.
No, it's a two-way game. But is it a two-way game or is it a two-way game?
It can be a two-way game. All 18-7 don't help.
Is he a defensive liability or not? In his second year of basketball, was he?
He had good moments on defense. I think that's a little overblown, and that's just my opinion. I know he's not Hakeem Olajuwon defensively. I'm not saying that.
No.
But
it's
a little overblown.
I think Marvin Bagley. I'm of the belief. And tell me if you guys maybe you disagree with me. We do way too much hypercriticism of young NBA players before we let them get to ages, 24, 25, when they are full-blown and come into their own, especially on the defensive end in the NBA. But what I will tell you is, I know you want to dismiss 2 weeks in the bubble, but I know what defense is in basketball. I know how much effort is a part of any defense in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I have not seen defense that bad since I covered the process Sixers team that won 10 games.
New Orleans, the other team that you had above the Kings, they played worse defense.
Oh, okay. New Orleans also do things offensively.
Now we're arguing who's bad and who's worse. You're listening to D'Lo and KC and Marshall Harris on KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD Sacramento, or radio.com sports station, and driven by Lashers Elk Grove Dodge. I've been doing radio and television with Marshall for a long time. This is the most fired up I have ever heard him.
I love it. I love it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm a big accountability guy. And, you know, I came from a city where when you say, you know, you feel like, you know, moves were and decisions were made because of voices within the organization as it concerns Vladdy and his dismissal. But we're a week out from that, and we don't even know what's going on for real. I know a search firm has been hired. I know Joe Dumars is the interim vice president. Executive vice president. Don't want to short him. Of basketball operations. I know he's a former NBA exec of the year. I know all these things, right? I still don't know if Joe Dumars, even though he's got the interim tag right now, is a part of the permanent front office structure. I would like an answer to that question. Is somebody going to have to report to him? Because if that's the case, can you explain how you believe the best and most qualified people for this job would ever want to take a job where they're reporting to someone else on the basketball ops side?
That's a great point. It's a great point. I have no idea.
If you can answer that question, we can go somewhere. But if you can't answer that question, I'm just looking at you like, oh, y'all really about to fall for this okie doke, huh?
And then look here on the flip side, Damian and Marshall, if I'm Joe Dumars and I'm not a part of the future, why would I really care about this draft, this free agency? You know what I'm saying? Like, unless I'm just the best guy in the world. Like, there's nothing invested for me.
Two things. One, he is on the payroll as a special advisor now. I'm sure he got some type of pay bump to do this interim job. And he is the acting GM. What I found odd about the statement was the interim tag and then not clarification that he was or was not a part of the future. But also, it said no player personnel decisions would be made until a full-time GM was in place. So the timetable, I need to understand the timetable on all this.
Marshall, we'll get you.
There's more questions than answers right now.
We'll try to get you out on a happier note. Are you excited about the Joey Barr call-up? You excited about the move the Giants are making? I mean, that's a Joey Barr. That's a plus. I'm just trying to get you out of here on something that'll make us all smile.
Well, if Joey Bart's going to be like the closing catcher, because maybe they need that because they don't have a closer. I mean, they did win two games in a row. I give them that. That's a good look. They need something. They need to build on the momentum of getting a couple of wins in a row. 16 teams are making the playoffs in Major League Baseball. They are not out of it. They could somehow slip in with a not great team and get into the playoffs. And really, if you're a Giants fan, isn't that all you can hope for this year in a 60-game season? Like, find a way to get us in.
Yeah, pretty much. I got a room big enough to Marshall can come over. We can socially distance, and he can do the show with us one day, man.
You got to pull up with us one time, man. Come on, you got to pull up, man.
I'll pull up. Just let me know when and where. I have things I need to get off my chest, but I don't have time or format for my current job.
We noticed. The great Marshall Harris. Thanks, my man. It's always a pleasure. We
appreciate you, Marshall.
Appreciate y'all. Have a great one.
Man, yes, sir. That is my guy.
Great
Marshall
stuff.
Harris, CBS 13 Sports Extra Sports Sunday. Man, that is great stuff. He was fiery. Man.
Don't talk about Ben Simmons from Philly. People are affiliated with Philly. Don't talk about Ben Simmons. I learned that in the last 24 hours. They love that non-shooting point guard. They love him.
If you missed any part of that conversation, you can download the radio.com app, hit the live button, and just use the rewind feature. You'll see it right there. It's a little blue button at the bottom. You can rewind. You could go back to the very beginning of our conversation with Marshall Harris, and you can listen not all the way through the conversation, but all the way through the rest of the show. You won't miss a single minute. That rewind feature is even better than podcasting. Of course, if you scroll down just a little bit further, you'll see the D'Lo and KC podcast right there at the bottom. So if you missed anything during our inaugural week here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station, you can catch up with us. Make sure you give us a follow at ESPN 1320 on Twitter, at D'Lo and KC on Twitter. Both of those handles good for Instagram as well. You know, one thing, it was passionate. I was afraid he'd get mad if I brought this up too. But, you know, he kind of worked around the Alabama-Auburn region. Like, he's very familiar with SEC football. He's very familiar with SEC football. And, you know, the SEC, there's five power conferences, but only three of them are playing football this year. We talked about in our one-on-one conversation yesterday, kind of near the end of the show before Kenny Smith joins us. We talked about a line that Lane Kiffin had about Pac-12 students and Big Ten students being able to transfer so they don't miss out on the season, or for some guys, they don't miss out on the chance to, you know, improve their upcoming draft stock. But there is a line that Lane Kiffin said also in that interview with the SEC Network that I heard Mac Brown also say. Mac Brown and Nick Saban both said it on yesterday's Dan Patrick show. And it's caught my attention because we played a clip of Coach K earlier in this week. They've all said the same thing, and I'll paraphrase it, but it's all been on message, almost as if a mass memo was sent out and said, this is how we're going to frame college sports. All of those coaches that I just named said that the players are safer when they're with their teammates. When they're in the basketball program, they're safe. When they're in the football program, they're safe. It's when they leave that they get concerns. It's whether they're adhering to the social distancing and mask protocols. When they're away from their teammates, that has all of these different schools and all of these different coaches concerned. And it's these, you know, it's guys like Coach K's. It's, and these aren't small names. We were talking about the NCAA tournament earlier in this week, Kenny, and we were talking about, if Coach K wants an NCAA tournament in March, Coach K is probably going to get an NCAA tournament in March. And if they can't give it to him in March, maybe they'll give it to him in April. Maybe they'll give it to him in June. But if he's pushing for an NCAA tournament, he's probably going to get it. And I feel like what we're hearing from these coaches is kind of a front, like, hey, we're going to protect these guys. Give us football, because that's what this all boils down to. That's the cash cow, you know, except, you know, Duke is one of the rare exceptions where basketball, men's basketball, is their big cash cow. But you're talking about, give us our sports so we're going to keep our players safe, and we're going to be able to generate money for our universities. And it's just mind-boggling to me to think that, man, these Power Five conferences, they're not all on the same page here.
Not at all. And if anybody believes what a Nick Saban is saying, or a Mac Brown, if anybody believes that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you, right? I got some beachfront property in Idaho I want to sell you. Because what does that even mean, they're safer here playing with us? What, are they living at the facility? Like, that's not a bubble. They still have to leave the facility and go into the real world. I'm probably safer at home right now. That's why we're not in the studio. But I have to leave the house at some point, too. Like, what does that even mean?
And I think that's one of the bigger issues that doesn't really make sense with this seemingly united message, because I actually do understand the point that they're making. They're safe when they're around their teammates, because all their teammates, they're, you know, while they're there, they care about football and they care about winning, and they're a family, and we're a program, and we're about Alabama, or we're about Duke, or we're about, you know, North Carolina.
They're safe for like 3 hours. There's 24
exactly,
hours in a day.
Exactly. But then they leave, and it only takes one.
Yeah.
It only takes one who maybe he got called over to the party. He, you know, he was having a little fun, and bada bang, bada boom, he shows up at practice the next day, and all of a sudden, we've got a problem. You know, we'll bring up the Notre Dame story here in about a half hour. Five players tested positive for COVID with the Notre Dame football team. Notre Dame is playing. They're with the ACC. The ACC is playing football. Like, that's amazing to me. North Carolina, Coach Cutcliffe, Mac Brown, Coach Cutcliffe, they're playing football. Duke, North Carolina, two basketball schools, they're playing football. Michigan and Ohio State is not.
Right.
Amazing.
Big Ten commissioner came out earlier and reiterated that again when, you know, I think parents had, you know, voiced concern, and some coach, what was it, Nebraska's coach said, well, we're going to play regardless. And he said, I want to say again, we're not playing this fall. Like you talked about a little bit yesterday, in the South, it's a different ball. They're going to do this regardless, man. They're going to do this regardless.
Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, says, yeah, we're not revisiting this topic. We're not playing in fall. Now, maybe we'll play in winter, or maybe we'll play in the months moving forward, but we are not playing football in fall. But Joey Bart, he's playing baseball with the San Francisco Giants. We're going to talk to Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy of 95.7. He's going to join us coming up here in 7 minutes. And Kenny and I, we're going to go one-on-one, and you're going to have to explain this to me, bro. Oscar De La Hoya is coming out of retirement. What?
It's one-on-one, but I also want to say, whose man's is this?
Yeah, yes, indeed. Plus, more thoughts on the lottery tonight, all coming up here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey. D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
$1,550 lease cash from Hyundai, plus tax and license. $0 security deposit. Mileage charge 20 cents a mile up to 30,000. $13.89 per month for 1,000 finance. 30% down depending on credit. Ends September 8th.
I know. The light changes and you're a little slow on the get up and go. Extra Man here. Let's recharge and treat you right at Extra Mile. How about a little boost? Like a Monster energy drink, a hot dog, Lay's potato chips, and an Extra Mile extra good chocolate bar. Think of it as a snack that's got your back. Here you can grab, go, and repeat.
Extra Mile convenience stores. Treat you right at select Chevron and Texaco locations.
It all starts with just one thing. New innovations are happening all the time with recycled products. One company in Uganda has started recycling plastic bottles into protective face shields for use in hospitals. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Oil change coming up? We can help you out. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. And if you need it fast, we can help you get it fast. Whether it's at home with our next day delivery or in-store and curbside with our free same-day pickup. The choice is yours. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Mr. Clean. Most people know that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser removes crayon and scuff marks from walls, but did you know it even cleans tough kitchen and bathroom messes that are sometimes tough to tackle? Just wet, squeeze, and erase gray soap scum on your bathtub. Erase cloudy hard water spots in your shower. Erase burnt on stovetop messes. So for all your tough kitchen and bathroom messes, try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean. These days, it's okay to do some things halfway. Like wearing your pajama bottoms on a work call. But managing your prescriptions shouldn't be one of them. That's why CVS has a proprietary search tool to find ways that may help lower your prescription costs. And we'll deliver them too. No wonder CVS customers are better than most at staying on prescriptions, which tends to make you healthier. Come in or call today and get a free prescription savings review at CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
It's crunchy!
Creamy!
Sweet.
Salty.
Nature Valley sweet and salty peanut bars. Bursting with crunchy peanuts, dipped in creamy nut butter coating.
Delicious.
Nature Valley.
This SportsCenter update sponsored by...
Plan, prepare, and stay aware for when the next wildfire strikes. Protect yourself and your family by being ready. Learn more from CAL FIRE at readyforwildfire.org.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Absolutely. ESPN 1320, your home of the NBA playoffs. Lakers and Blazers tonight, 6 p.m. here on 1320. Make your plans to be with us. Of course, the NBA draft lottery. Make sure you follow at D'Lo and KC over on Instagram. Follow at D'Lo and KC on all of your social media platforms. We might have a couple of live pop-ups tonight, either during or immediately following the lottery. The Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky of 95.7, our sister station in San Francisco, he's going to join us here in just a few minutes to talk about the Giants and Joey Bart. Man, 2020 has been quite the year for play-by-play announcers. Reds play-by-play guy Tom Brenneman used, you know, it's always interesting when it's framed as an anti-gay slur during a game. And you always wonder, like, I know I do this a lot when someone says that they, like, so-and-so uses a racial slur. I always look to see, is it that racial slur? Like, right. Is it that word? And you know what word I'm looking for. And In the case of an anti-gay slur, it's the same thing. And there's video of it with audio, and he uses it, and he uses it with ferocious vengeance and hate when he says it. But he was caught on a hot mic, and he issued this apology.
I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will
go
be a home run.
Call this home run here.
Yeah, let me get that
and
in.
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
That's important.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
I might be fired.
I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds.
Maybe
I don't know if it's
going to
be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck.
Dude.
For the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with.
Okay. There's 30 more seconds of that. You get the idea. Bruh. Stop. I hate the line, I'm a man of faith. Okay, can you explain to me exactly what does that mean? You're a man of faith. Like, what does that mean? Because if you say you're from faith, well, like, what are you trying to say? Is that your way of tiptoeing around the fact, like, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of God? Are you? Because, again, you are comfortable enough to use that word at work. Like, that wasn't the first time your coworkers have heard you use that word. You were quite comfortable in what you said there when you thought the camera and the microphone weren't on you.
Yeah, he said it real easy, too. Real, like you said, comfortable and
But he
easy.
Said it with hate. Like, it didn't. Like, he said it, and he meant there were ill intentions behind the way that he said
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it was like my man Jigga Jay-Z said. We don't believe you. Need more people. Tom Brenneman, peace out, man.
You're going Jay-Z. I think I'll go Maya Angelou. When someone shows you who they are, believe him the first time.
Yes.
And that's what Brenneman did. He showed us exactly who it was. I'm not going to say the Charlotte Hornets announcer's name because it's real iffy. It's real iffy. I don't want it to come across as if I said something else. And he said he was trying to tweet about the Denver Nuggets, but he typed a different N-word. And he was really quick to say, oh, it wasn't autocorrect, because then he would have outed himself if he had said it was autocorrect. And he just said he misspelled the word.
Okay. I've never done that with the Denver Nuggets. No. I've never done that. I follow sports. I talk about sports. I tweet. I text. Never happened to me before.
Hell of a year for play. The Reds have suspended Tom Brenneman for now. We'll see what they wind up doing. He's been on their payroll for 33 years. The Charlotte Hornets have suspended their play-by-play announcer. It's a hell of a year for play-by-play announcers outing themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a hell of a year. Let's bring in Joe Shasky. And this is a hell of a transition to the Butcher Boy, man. Sorry to go from such a heavy topic to bring you in, Joe. We're happy that you're with us. And I'm guessing you're pretty happy about the San Francisco Giants calling up Joey Bart today.
I mean, it's about darn time. I mean, geez Louise, what's this guy got to do to get off the Sacramento tee box, if you will? I mean, literally, there's no minor leagues going on right now. None whatsoever. There's no financial ramifications of bringing this guy up. He should have been up here 2 weeks ago. This is absolutely absurd. I'm sitting here watching Chadwick Trump and Tyler Heineman, two guys that I wouldn't even allow on my AA team, out here botching games for Johnny Cueto and Seth Samardzija and some of these guys that I'm trying to get rid of. I mean, the kids should have been up weeks ago. It's about darn time.
Butch, you have been on this, I would say, for a year. I think late last year you were talking about bringing him. I think he had broken his hand or whatever, so he couldn't. But we've talked about this before, about how Major League Baseball, due to the contract and trying to do service time and all this other stuff, they bury these guys in minor league systems for like a year and a half, possibly 2 years more than they should. I made the analogy earlier in the show, and I've talked to you about it, about as if the Pelicans drafted Zion Smith and said he's going to go to the G League for 3 years. How ridiculous would that sound? Tell me more about it, because you've broken it down even better than I could before.
Yeah, basically it's talent suppression. Think about this. In no other walk of life do we suppress talent. It drives me insane. Zion Williamson, we drafted him number one overall. Let's put him in the G League for a couple of years so we can have some contractual control 4 years from now. I mean, it's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., one of the greatest prospects the game has ever seen, had to sit down so that some 30-year-old could play right field instead of him for 3 weeks, and then they could bring him up because they were afraid he's going to be a super two. Think about Kyler Murray getting drafted number one overall, or Nick Bosa number two overall. Yeah, let's keep him on the practice squad because we don't want that price tag 6 years from now to be astronomical. The thing that drives me more insane is that we're not talking about a center fielder. We're not talking about a pitcher whose arm is very fragile. We're talking about a catcher, okay? Offensive catchers in Major League Baseball, this is proven. They are the running back of the bigs right now. They have a very short shelf life. And why would I subject some young man at 23 years old to an archaic number of innings behind the plate where his career could end on a foul ball like Mike Matheny's did in 2005, or he could break his hand like Joey Bart did last year against remedial pitching? It's absolutely absurd, okay? I want this guy who should have been up months ago. I want this guy to play every single day. You get better by playing. I mean, KC, how many sports have you played growing up? Do you get better playing against a bunch of first graders when you're in sixth grade, or do you get better playing in that high school run on the opposite side of the gym? You get better playing against better talent.
You know him as the Butcher Boy. He's Joe Shasky of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Joe, maybe a slightly more difficult question, or maybe not. What is the future of Buster Posey with the San Francisco Giants?
I think this is a very complicated question. I don't know where Buster is. I think Buster's only got maybe a year or two left after this year. He's clearly one of the great Giants of the last 40 years. That goes without saying. But they miss him. His cerebral, his mental look on the game, they absolutely miss. He's still an elite defensive catcher, whether it's blocking balls behind the plate, whether it's pitch framing, whether it's throwing guys out. We've seen the Giants this year. I mean, a runner gets to first base, it's basically a parade line. It's as if Ricky Henderson is on every single team the Giants face because that guy's trying to steal second base. It's nuts. So they miss him defensively. They miss his brain. They miss his stoic nature where he's so calm every single day, almost like a quarterback who's been there, done that before on one of these veteran teams, like let's say Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. But as far as the player, the hitter, I mean, his days of batting 3, 4, 5 in any lineup, those days are long gone. He's got no pop left in the hips. He could still play defensively on any team. Yankees could use him. Braves could use him. I can make an argument for about 11 teams in the bigs that could use the defensive prowess of Buster Posey. But him being the centerpiece that the San Francisco Giants are going to build around, those days are long gone. And I love Buster. I mean, I truly do. But the guy had hip replacement surgery 2 years ago. That's something my 85-year-old grandfather's going through right now. Not the cleanup hitter of the San Francisco Giants who won 3 championships. So those days are long gone. I think he's got maybe a couple of years left. I don't know where he's going to be at emotionally coming off of an entire year of waiting. Does he like Gabe Kapler? Does he want to stick around for all the analytics and no gut? Like, I have major reservations on Buster's future with the Giants. And then with Joey Bart getting called up today, is there going to be enough opportunities for both of these guys to thrive? Remember, Buster got his opportunity because Benji Molina got traded away. Benji was the best player on the Giants before Buster Posey showed up. So I just think there's a lot going on. There's a domino effect here, and I just don't know if Buster's going to be a Giant past next year.
Mm-hmm. Butcher, I Damien asked me earlier what to do with Posey. I took that deep breath that you just took when he asked him the question, but I said it's time to take him out the pasture. You know what I mean? And that doesn't necessarily mean cutting him, but the future is now with Joey Bart, and that's where he needs to go. And a lot of people are saying, okay, have Posey here and have him mentor Joey Bart. I don't get the feeling that Buster is the type that is looking forward to mentor anybody. I think he wants to be out there every day. He wants to play. People talk about first base. He said numerous times, right, he's not trying to go to first base full time. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I don't still think there's value there with him at first base. He's not going to become all of a sudden overnight an 18 to 25 home run guy. Like, that's just not who he is. Those are outlier seasons for him. The MVP in 2012, 8 years ago, will be 9 years removed if he shows up next year. 9 years removed from a 20-something home run season for Buster Posey. That is an outlier. It's not coming back. Joe Mauer tried to make the transition. It's too late. And this goes back to, like, I love Buster Posey. I absolutely do. I wanted him to be a Giant forever. But where the Giants are right now, they got into a situation where they refused to move off of someone who does have a little value for nostalgia reasons, and it's made the rebuild significantly more difficult and more elongated. Like, if they want to get good again, sadly, I feel like there's going to have to be a time where they trade away Buster Posey to open up playing spots, number one, for the catcher spot, but number two, to get a prospect back because they have absolutely no pitching in their farm. If you can get me a legit bullpen arm or a fourth or fifth starter for a year of Buster Posey, you have to pull the trigger. You owe it to this organization for the next chapter, not for Buster Posey. You paid him $180 million. You owe it to your own organization in the current mode to go out and get something for the future. I love Buster, but I think they're going to end up dealing him.
Great points.
All I think is just graceful exit. That's all I try to come up with for a guy who's won rings for you, run rings with you. And yeah, I understand that's kind of a lost premise in sports, but that's all I was hoping for Buster. I'm sure Buster Posey knows he's older. I'm sure his body realizes he's older. I get it's time to move on. I was just hoping maybe he could have a graceful exit. But I guess a lot of it, Joe, and as you and Kenny both mentioned, it probably depends on his mindset for the upcoming year.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. I mean, we don't know where this guy's going to be at emotionally. Does he want to stay in this area the rest of his life? I feel like those days of a Dwight Clark making his home in the Bay Area, those days are kind of long gone. Most guys, they rent a place out. Maybe they'll move their family into a house on the peninsula. But once their playing career is over, they move back to Arizona. They move back to wherever they're from in Georgia, for example, with Buster Posey. I don't know where he's at. I don't know if he wants to make this area his home for the foreseeable future in his own life. Like, I just don't see a graceful exit. And here's the hard part right now. A team like the A's, for example, who's really, really good, and they got a young catcher in Sean Murphy, they could absolutely use the brain of Buster Posey if they want to win in the playoffs. If you're the Yankees and you got Gary Sanchez booting balls left and right, he's your DH. Buster Posey is an unbelievable upgrade defensively and could bat eighth or ninth in that lineup for the next couple of years. And yes, he would age gracefully. He could still be a 280 to 310 hitter given, you know, that he's batting in the eighth spot on a really, really deep lineup. Like, Houston Astros couldn't use him. He couldn't go down there. And maybe Bruce Bochy's available. This is the other part. I think Bochy's going to come back. Let's say Bochy takes the Houston Astros job or the Atlanta Braves job. You don't think he's trying to bring Buster Posey over there? There's obviously synergy between the two of them. Like, I love Buster. I wanted him to finish up a Giant, but it doesn't line up with where the Giants are currently. And I think he wants to chase another ring for his own self-worth. Wouldn't you want to win another ring if you were Buster Posey and you've been counted out the last 3 years? Absolutely. I think I would.
Yeah,
there's no question about that. He wants to see this team make the next turnaround. The Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky, 95.7, The Game, our sister station in San Francisco. Thank you so much for joining us, my man. We greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate you,
hey,
Joe.
Hey, love you both. Can't wait for the 49ers. I can't wait to see who the King Tire here. And one last thing. I'm telling you right now, Brandon Ayuk. I'm just dropping that name down there. I'm just going to drop. KC can pick it up. Brandon Ayuk. I can't wait 3 weeks. Hey, boys, I'm proud of you guys getting a spot. Casey, you know I love you for the longest time. Congratulations.
Love you, bro.
I mean that.
Love you,
That's
bro.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate you. Joe Shasky, Butcher Boy, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. That's awesome, man. Boy, is Grant Cohn kind of said something similar this week,
Grant,
too.
He got people feeling real good right now.
Okay.
And also, that boy Dante Pettis continues to turn heads at training camp. I'm saying, you got Ayuk, you got Pettis showing something, you get Debo back eventually, we may be cooking with grease. And then obviously you got George Kittle. Let's not forget about that. We may be cooking with grease out there at Santa Clara at 49er way. I think that's the name. The Bartolo way, maybe.
That's a lot of 49s, though. Are we going with that many 49?
It's definitely 49. It's not Centennial. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. At Levi Stadium, all right? Let's just go there.
I'm with it. If you missed any part of our conversation with Joe Shasky, or you missed the fiery interaction between Marshall Harris and Kenny Caraway.
Marshall.
You can download the radio.com app, use the rewind feature, and catch up on any part of the show that you may have missed. I can't stress that enough. Kenny and I both do podcasts. We both love the podcast world. We both love the digital world. But as it comes as it pertains to at D'Lo and KC, as it pertains to this radio show here on ESPN 1320, we can't stress this enough. Download that radio.com app. If you want on-demand availability of this radio show, download that app. Search ESPN 1320. Hit the heart button once you find us. That way ESPN 1320 pops up every time you open that app. And then you could just scroll back. I would love to say that that's ESPN 1320's app. That's our company's app, man. And if you're interested in sports talk radio from anywhere around the country, we got you. If you're interested in hearing Marshall Harris call up a Philadelphia radio station, you could probably find it on that app. Matter of fact, I think Marshall Harris still gets a paycheck from Intercom, which is why I invited him. I'm dead serious, which is why I told him I'm going to hook up a third mic one day and he could come in here. We could socially distance here.
Pull up. We can have him on the day Ben Simmons gets traded.
Oh my gosh, don't start that again. You've got to stop that. I think there's a way. We'd have to get it approved from the office. I think there's a way I could configure this room where we could safely all do the show together. But we'd have to get approval from the office.
Love to have 2 hours with that guy.
Hey, it's been a great day so far, man. Let's go one-on-one right now.
Let's do it.
That was Charlie's cue to hit the theme song. There it is. All right. That's all right. We get that worked out here. This is right up your wheelhouse, my brother.
Yeah.
Oscar De La Hoya is 47 years old. I think you want to remove this from one-on-one. What was the segment that you had this called?
Whose man is this?
Oscar De La Hoya has not fought in 12 years. And for some reason, dude, he's been itching to get into the ring with Conor McGregor in the past. That doesn't appear to be a part of this. We've got Roy Jones coming out of retirement. He's going to fight Mike Tyson, for God's sakes. I got my own feelings about that. Explain. Look, why? That's my only question. Why?
Oscar, I'm going to try to be as respectful as possible here, right? But Oscar is basically a snake oil salesman. All right, he was a great fighter. He fought everybody. I loved him as a boxer. But as a promoter, he's a con artist. All right, he tells fibs, and he's a con artist. And more importantly, he always wants the attention on him. Instead of putting the attention on his fighters like a Ryan Garcia or like a Canelo Alvarez, like he should be doing, he wants all the attention back on him, and he wants to get back in the ring. I don't want to see him getting back in the ring at all. He needs to stop all that. But if he does, he needs to go up against one of my boys, the Charlos, Lions only, you know what I'm saying, at 154. And we can see Charlo versus Oscar. How about that?
This is terrible.
It is.
This is terrible. Roy Jones, the last time he fought, didn't he get knocked out?
Roy Jones got knocked out like five of the last seven times he fought.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be funny. Wasn't he like twitching the last time? Like he got, was it, I can't remember who the fighter's name was.
But
he was like, it was one of those like, oh, it took like 40 minutes for him to get out of the ring that night.
It was all bad.
And I don't care how old Mike Tyson is. He's going to step in the ring with Mike Tyson? This is a bad idea. These boxers fighting at this age is a bad idea on so many fronts. And Oscar De La Hoya says, no, this is an exhibition. Like, I'm going to fight for real. These are all terrible ideas. This is your sport. You are a boxing aficionado. I didn't even know people like you still existed.
Oh, we out here.
I had no PBC, idea.
We got love for PBC out here on D-Lo and KC always. We want to thank Al Haymon. That's what we do.
You were talking about that young lady who
Jessica McCaskill, yeah.
And how many championship belts does she have?
Oh, Cecilia Breaker, she had, I think, four or five. Like, they call them the alphabet belts. She had all the alphabet belts of the welterweight division.
Yeah, because you named off about 27 letters. Or 27 combinations of letters.
Yeah.
And it's like,
That's one of the biggest issues.
I don't even know who's in charge of boxing anymore. Like, there was a time where boxing, being the heavyweight champion of the world, it was prestigious. It was a big deal. Now it's like, wait, how many heavyweight champions are there? How many organizations are there?
There's still, even with everything going on, Damien, a big fight still stops everything.
But I don't know.
It still stops everything.
I don't know what a big fight is anymore. Like, I know some of them. Like, they're like, what Joshua had one. He's had a couple. Like, I know a handful. Like a couple of like, okay, I know this is a big deal. I've got to pay attention to this. Yeah. I got to see what's going on. But I like you give me a big like, we've got a big welterweight fight. I don't know who's that. I have no idea.
Damien, you're going to come over to the crib. You know what I'm saying? I have the fight parties. You know, the queen bee, she makes the tacos. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to be champagneing and campaigning for all the big fights. You're going to come over to the crib, and I'm going to get you going.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm with it. What you got for me?
We're good. Now, Damien. We talked earlier, the NBA draft lottery is tonight, and one of the teams with the best odds to get the number one pick in the draft is the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors are guaranteed at least a top five pick in this 2020 draft. But they still have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, if you want to throw him in there. I don't. But whatever. Andrew Wiggins. They're in their prime. They're in their championship window. Damian, should the Golden State Warriors draft a young fella with their first pick, or should they look to trade that away and get a veteran presence on that squad?
Can we just spend a quick second? We won't spend too long. A quick second on the Draymond Green hate? Overrated?
I'm not.
Like, what do you think?
He's completely overrated. Completely overrated. Now, that, once again, that doesn't mean he's a bad player. I understand the value he brings. But you know, Damian, I have people trying to tell me that Draymond Green was a top 10 player in the game.
For three years, they will argue
this with me.
He's a top 10. He's a top three defensive player. I think when you talk about the great defensive players, you're immediately talking about Kawhi Leonard, Draymond Green, and probably Paul George.
He's a great two-way player. He's a good role player. Sure. Let's not make it any more than that. That's what they've tried to do for the last 5 years. And I said, no, he's a good role player.
To answer your question, there's all sorts of scenarios going into the lottery. And I think the most intriguing one, because the belief is, I'd imagine if Cleveland wins the lottery and they, along with the Minnesota Timberwolves, Golden State Warriors, they have the best chances to win the lottery. I'd say Minnesota, Cleveland, they're going to keep those picks. They're going to draft those young guys and they're going to see what they can do with them. But Golden State is intriguing in this fashion in that, okay, you could look at both directions. Well, you've got a young guy. The question would be, who is it? Who's the young guy? Do you love him? I mean, you know they're going to finish top five. So is it a player in the top five? Like, do you love the player that you can get at five as much as you love the player that you can get at one or two or three or four? I think everything, you know, every question that's asked after that, it depends on how you answer that question. Because if there are players there that you love, yeah, keep them. Because I don't see this draft being one where people are dying to get into the top five. So unless there's a specific target that's out there on the market that you're like, oh, you know, I could add to this. And then there's always Paul George, Russell Westbrook scenarios that kind of pop up out of nowhere.
Right.
My bet is, and I don't bet, I do not gamble. We went over this already.
Yeah.
I think the player might wind up being on the roster next year. I think the player that they draft, they wind up keeping.
Yeah. And the other aspect to that is, what kind of deal can you get for that player? So, for instance, if they could get, we've been talking about Philly, if they could get a Joel Embiid for the top five pick, yeah, they'd probably make that deal. But if it was Buddy Hield that they were getting, they're probably like, we'll probably just hold on to this player, right? You know what I'm saying? So it comes down to the player.
When you're talking about
players, I hope you become the Warriors general manager, because please, I would trade Buddy Hield in a heartbeat for this top five pick.
But who though? And I think, you know, we could make this a bonus question. Like, what's the prize of this draft? Like, is there a prize at this draft? Or is there a, I like this player, I like this player, well, I like this guy, I like that guy's skill set. But is there a, I've got to have that player on my favorite team?
I don't know if we go that far, but there's three guys that are the truth. You got my man out of Georgia, Edwards. Anthony Edwards. You got him. I think he's a shorter version of KD. He looks like he just studied nothing but KD game film. He fills it up. Then you got James Wiseman, the big kid out of Memphis who only played a couple of games.
Yeah.
7 foot, athletic. He can play. And then you have the wild card.
Okay.
Your boy, LaMelo Ball.
Oh,
LaMelo is bad. LaMelo is like 6'7", 6'8", point guard, handle, skill, everything. If LaMelo was, if his name was LaMelo Jones, people would be going crazy over him. But his name is LaMelo Ball, and people are like, I don't know if I want to deal with that.
But wasn't the, you know, when all of this nonsense with that family started, wasn't he like always the one that they said he's the best player?
I always thought he was the best.
It's Lonzo.
But at the time, he was like 13.
Right. Lonzo's really, really good. The other one, not so much.
Yeah.
But the young one, But the young one, man, he's going to wind up being the best of them all. And yeah. So, like, here we are. I don't think it's outlandish. I don't feel, since Lonzo has left Los Angeles, the light is a little bit dimmer in New Orleans. The weird circumstances of the year as well have probably maybe played a part into it. I don't feel the same, Lonzo, LeVar, Ball family nonsense has gone on since he's been to the Pelicans.
Nah, and there was a situation, the
point in that being it should ease concerns.
It was a situation, unfortunately, where Lonzo and I think LaMelo was on Lonzo's side too, where they kind of distance themselves from LeVar a little bit because of the whole situation with the triple B's and
the bad investment
and stuff like that. So I hope they kind of brought that together family-wise, what I'm saying? Because I don't want to see no family go through anything like that, especially, fathers and sons and things of that nature. But I don't think he's as prevalent as he was when Lonzo was coming out.
Okay, we got a couple more. Then we got things that we love in sports. Five players, we mentioned this one earlier, five players for the Notre Dame football team tested positive for COVID. Six more are quarantining. I ask you, will this or anything like it stop college football from happening for those three power conferences that said they're going to play?
No. Bottom line, no. They're playing. They are playing. Come hell or high water, they are playing. And they'll do a baseball. They'll be like, okay, we're playing. Oh, you tested positive? Okay, you sit out as a school for 2 weeks, and we're going to keep playing, and then you get back in the schedule when you're done. They ain't stopping down there, boy. They are not stopping in the South.
I would love to come up with some great, compelling argument just to argue you for fun, but you're 100% right. It doesn't matter. It could be five players. It could be 10. It could be 20.
They'll do seven
on
sevens.
They'll find a new recruit of 20 more players if they have to. College football, for those three schools or for those three power conferences that said it's happening, and nothing is going to change that.
Yeah, that's facts. One last one-on-one here. And Damian, I think this is a D-Lo and KC exclusive. I don't think you're getting this anywhere else, but right here on D-Lo and KC. The kid from Coney Island, Stephon Marbury. He was in the news because on his IG Live the other day, he claims that LeBron James pays both TNT and ESPN cameramen not to show the worst angles of his hairline. And not only that, they add filters to fill in the bald spots. He also says LeBron James' barber spends 5 minutes on one side of his head when he gets a shape up, and then he puts his do-rag on crooked afterwards. Do you believe that LeBron James is in cahoots with TNT and ESPN cameramen to filter the bald spots in his head?
The stupidest freaking thing I've ever heard. that is absolutely absurd. Absolutely not. That is ridiculous. It reminds me of a story of I'm a wrestling fan, particularly an old school wrestling fan, and we talk about podcasts and podcasts that we like. One of my favorite podcasts has always been Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Bruce Pritchard is the guy who played the former character. If you were an 80s wrestling fan, he played Brother Love. But he has always been a behind-the-scenes character, and he used to do a lot of television editing and things like that. And there was a time where because Hulk Hogan has basically been bald forever. And you remember in the 80s, Hulk Hogan was the guy. Bruce Pritchard has talked openly about how they would spend hours and hours and hours and hours editing stuff because Vince McMahon didn't want Hulk Hogan's bald spot shown. And there were times where they had to not add more hair, but they would have to affect like a light or something to make sure that it didn't shine on the top of Hulk Hogan's head. They said it cost a fortune to be able to do that. And when Vince McMahon finally found out how much it cost, he was like, oh, okay, forget it. Just show Hogan's bald spot. I don't really care. There is less than zero chance that what Stephon Marbury said was true. Less than zero.
And I'll say this. If it is true, LeBron needs his money back because it ain't working. See that bald spot all game long. It's getting crazy. I watched it the other day, and I said, come on, LeBron. This is getting out of control. This is getting out of control. I mean, come on home, bro. It's okay.
What do you want? You want him to just shave it all off?
Shave it all off, or go Kobe, when Kobe had like the low even fade or whatever that kind of, tried to mask his receding hairline. You can do that, but LeBron out here trying to have a Caesar. He out here trying to have a Caesar. We can't have that, LeBron. We really can't have that. I talked about Jay-Z. We don't believe you need more people. Every time I see him on the court, we don't believe that Caesar. I know that.
Charlie working hard for us in the ESPN studio. Charlie, you can go ahead and fade that music down as we move along here. Do you have a Kobe Bryant jersey?
I had two. I had an 8 and a 24. I don't have them anymore. Yeah, I gave away, this was like 10 years ago, I gave away all my jerseys. And it was like a, you know, it was from the early 2000s, so it was like a 3X. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, no, I can't wear this anymore.
Which,
I should have held on to
which
it.
Which hand of your knees? I used to have a solid collection of jerseys during that era. I had, I don't know how many different Jordan throwback jerseys. I had an 8. I think I still have the 8. I don't wear it. I think that's the one we had autographed. That one's kind of tucked away somewhere. I've got the one jersey I have, and I'm old enough to now not, I'm not a big believer in jerseys anymore. It's not something that
it's
I'll
tough.
Do. But
it's
I think
tough.
I'll, but Monday it's 8/24.
Yeah.
It's Mamba Day. And yeah. I just love the jersey, and I didn't want to buy a current player because the one that I actually wanted was Russell Westbrook. I would have bought that one. It wasn't available, but it was those white All-Star game Jordan jerseys.
Oh, those are fresh.
And I got a 24. I think I might have to rock that for the first time on Monday.
Bring it on out, man. KB, man. RIP.
Speaking of next week, Mamba Day coming up on 8/24. Eric Armstead set to join D'Lo and KC coming up on Tuesday. So make your plans to be us. Right now, we're playing with the time a little bit. Right now, we've got him locked in for 12:15. That may change, but Eric Armstead set to join us.
Sacramento,
Tuesday.
Stand up, baby.
Yes, indeed. We got basketball tonight. We've got Lakers and Blazers here coming up at 6 p.m. on ESPN 1320. Let's talk about things that we love about sports. This is easy, and we've got the sound to back it up. Boban did the post-game interview on TNT, and it was absolutely fantastic.
It has been a delight to have you on
Boban,
our show inside the NBA.
Boban, before Thank we let you, you go, I got to hear it. You rang.
You rang.
Yeah.
I love
you, Boban. I love you, Boban. Thank you, brother.
thank you so much.
And thank you guys because choose me and not Luca.
There's more here. He did a movie this summer.
If that happened in real life and it wasn't in the script, wouldn't you kick Keanu Reeves' ass?
Oh, hey, of course, my friend. Of course, trust me. I saw that from Shaq. I saw he's in a lot of movies and he kicked everybody's ass. I was like, okay, I try to do the same, but I get the opposite. They kick my ass. Sorry for bad words.
Sorry for bad words. Boban is everything that is right about sport. It's impossible not to love that guy.
That was great stuff from Boban last night. You know, the other thing that was that made me chuckle unintentionally. It was real quick. Did you catch when he went to take his headphones off? And his headphones, because he's got these giant hands. He had these Beats Studio headphones on, and they looked like. They look so small.
It's like little limes.
It was crazy.
Well,
it
look, crazy. Here's another clip. He talked about his headphones during when they first set them up.
Is it true that your mom is 5'3 and your dad is 5'4? Something like that?
Yes, this is true. But by the way, I'm first time here and I'm nervous and I'm scared because my headphones don't fit on my ears and my head. You know, like I was like,
he says my headphones don't fit. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic stuff.
My thing that I love about sports, what we love about it is it happened a couple of days ago, and we'll see it possibly again tonight. But a former Sacramento King, Wenyen Gabriel, got the start in game one of the Blazers-Lakers series. And we've seen him here in Sacramento and even in Stockton and just his journey. I believe he was undrafted coming out of Kentucky, got a shot with the Kings, worked hard, went down to Stockton, worked even harder, got the call up to the Sacramento Kings, and you know the playing time wasn't what it thought he was, but then he got traded. And 6 months later after that trade, he finds himself starting against the Los Angeles Lakers with the Portland Trailblazers. And the thing that really got me was that he was mic'd up for TNT. And he was about to go onto the court after the starting lineup and everything, and Carmelo gave him an extra long hug and just kind of gave him, you know, a sense of motivation and a few encouraging words. And that just had to be a great moment. Carmelo Anthony, you know, saying, hey, you belong here. This is a great moment for you. Do what you can. I felt so good for Gabriel, man. And it was such a story of the marathon continuing, you know, for somebody like that. So shout out to Wenyen, man.
That's awesome, man. I want to try to hit this in just the last couple of seconds as this show is. Damon Ratto and Kolsky are coming up. Jim Cozumar, our buddy over at 95.7 The Game. You're a big fan of George Kittle? You know who else is a big fan of George Kittle? The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. He called in during an interview with Kittle a couple of days ago on 95.7 The Game.
Rick, what kind of potential would George have in the ring? What do you think George would do in the ring? You think he's got some moves that he might be able to trans...
Here's the deal. Here's what George has got going for him. He's a great athlete. I cannot believe you went in the fifth round. You're going to be like Brady. And they're going to look back at that and say, boy, we screwed that up. But George has a lot of charisma. Aside from being a great athlete, George brings a lot of charisma, as does Kelsey, to the game.
This is great stuff from Ric Flair and our friends over at 95.7 The Game. If you missed any part of today's show, including our conversation with Joe Shasky and Marshall Harris, download the radio.com app, use the rewind feature, go back, listen to any part of today's show that you may have missed, and give us a follow on Twitter at D'Lo and KC and at ESPN 1320. Same exact handles over there on Instagram. One quick follow-up here. KC, Tom Brenneman has been dropped by Fox for the upcoming season in terms of his NFL broadcast. So the ball is in the hands now of the Cincinnati Reds, and we'll see what they wind up doing moving forward. Again, catch up on today's show on the radio.com app. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you here tomorrow on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.